We all do this or what?
Yeah, we're going to do this. Welcome, everybody, to Redneck Dennis Show live here on Real Liberty Media. You can join the conversation by coming to reallibertymedia.com and just check in the chat room there. Join the conversation. We always have a good time here. I got to tell you guys, I'm going to start off with something just so freaking stupid. And I went to look for this picture this morning, and I couldn't find it, which is kind of crazy. But in Oregon, there was earlier this week, there was this report of a plane that had gone down. Now, I really wish, hopefully, I find this picture before I post my show notes, because this is what it was. It was a vapor trail from a jet. Hang on one sec. Yeah, it was a vapor trail from a jet. And the jet was still making the vapor trail, right? But the trail, you know, was coming out of the jet, and it went down to the horizon, and it kind of had a little bit of curviness to it as it dissipated, you know, behind the jet. And not one, but more than one moron called emergency services to report that a plane had gone down. Now, I can pretty much guarantee that everybody listening to this show would look at this vapor trail and just go, oh, it's a jet flying in the sky. How anybody could come to the conclusion that that was like a smoke trail of a plane that had gone down is beyond me. The crazy thing is that it was more than one report of this plane that had gone down. And my wife and I both saw it at the same time on some news coverage, local news coverage, and we were like, oh, it's just a jet. I mean, you instantly knew it was just a jet. But, you know, such is the world we're living in, where people can't think, it seems like. They draw conclusions that clearly aren't there. You know, they don't question, like, themselves even, which is kind of scary, I guess. It's really scary that, you know, we don't question more of the authoritarians, the tyrants that are currently running amok all over the world, by the way. Anyway, that was just the craziest thing. And, you know, and of course for Oregon, you know, I don't know, typical, I guess, as sad as that is for me to say. But that's the way it is. Hey, I have some really good news. This is really kind of crazy. Now, I know more than once I've kind of talked about the saga of my 79 Chevy pickup that's down in the implement building that I've been looking for a fender for a couple years. And I actually ordered one, and I was honest with you guys about how much money I was going to spend to get this stupid fender, because I've been screwing around waiting to put this truck back together and to make it really nice. The truck is mechanically all new. I have a new engine, new transmission. I have headers, pipes, you know, brakes, wheels, tire. Everything is really nice, but my son-in-law crashed it, so I have to fix it. And there was some body damage. One of those pieces was a rear quarter panel. And man, I mean, I looked at, you know, I looked for local trucks that, you know, I could part, you know, get parts from, but I didn't want to buy a whole nother truck just for a damn fender, because then I'd have to get rid of that. And even though we just have a little piece of property, we don't want to junk it up with a bunch of crap, you know. So months ago, I saw this part was available, supposedly, and I ordered it from this place, and I'm not going to tell you, because I kind of want to tell you the story first. So I ordered it from this place. I paid nearly $500 for, no, $600 for the fender. And at the time, because of whatever, it was also about $600 shipping. So I was going to pay $1,200 for a fender so I could put my truck back together. Well, after about 6 days, that company finally wrote me and said that that part wasn't available, and they refunded my money, which was fine. But it's kind of funny about a month ago. So that was about 6 months ago. And about 1 month ago, they sent me a survey. Wrong thing to do. So I gave them a really high rating because, you know, sometimes on those surveys, which I normally don't do, but I did this time because I knew the trick, right? So I gave them a really high rating because I knew that they would post it. And then in the rating, I talked about how stupid it was that, number one, they said they had the part and they didn't, and number two, it was going to be like $600 to ship it. So I get an email from them about a week, maybe 10 days ago, that says that this part is available. And I'm like, yeah, sure it is. So I go on the site, I find the part, I put it in my cart, and then I ask to chat with one of their people. And so one of their people came on and started chatting with me, and they asked me, you know, what I was looking for, and I told them. And then, you know, how those, they're kind of, I don't even know if that was a robot or a real person, but they said, oh, yes, I found that part in the catalog. And I said, yeah, I did too, you know, but I can't put that catalog on my truck. I actually want the part. And so what I'm chatting with you for is I want to know if that part actually exists. So that person actually went and checked inventory, and it said there were 28 of them available. And I was like, huh, heck yeah, I'll take one. So I put it in my cart. I paid for it. It was $12 to ship it. I think the part itself was $400 maybe. So like $450. The whole thing was $450 to have it shipped. And I actually got a confirmation email with tracking that that part has been shipped. And I am ecstatic that I finally am going to have the fender for my 79 Chevy. Now, I'm not really a Chevy guy, kind of a Ford guy. But I can tell you, like, I've had every imaginable vehicle worth having. No, that's not true. I've had really great vehicles. I've had a Toyota Tundra. I've had a Dodge Ram Cummins diesel. I've had a Ford gas powered. I had a Raptor. I had, right now I have a Ford F-250 diesel, beautiful Lariat edition, leather, everything on it. Love all of those trucks. They're all awesome trucks. This 79 Chevy, actually bought from a mechanic who had it, and he was moving across the country. He worked in the federal prison system, and he didn't want to take it with him. And we kind of had been looking at that truck for a few years, and we were like, oh, heck yeah, we'll buy that truck. So I bought it like for $1,500 17 years ago. And then we put the new engine in it and new transmission, you know, drivetrain. Anyway, like I said, mechanically it's awesome, but the body was just like hellacious, you know, always on these rigs that are kind of that old and haven't had anything done to them. Like in this case, the driver's side floor had a hole in it about the size of my fist after I took the flooring out, and now I have the stuff to fix that. I'm going to learn how to weld because, you know, welders want ridiculous amounts of money to come out and weld that or have me take it in there. And I think they just overquote you because they don't want to do it. And I get that, but you know what? So this is my project rig. That's all it is. It's a 79 Chevy. It's got the shorter bed on it, like 6 foot bed. It's not the step side. It's just the straight panels, you know. And I mean, they're awesome looking rigs. So I'm really looking forward to getting that done. So probably in the next 6, 8, 12 months, you're going to hear a lot about that 79 Chevy because it has been waiting and waiting and waiting to be put back together and be painted. And when I took the seat out to do the floor, I took the seat to an upholsterer and I had the seat done. It was like $500, but it's gorgeous. I mean, they did such a good job on it. And of course, you guys know I'm a Packer fan. I went to U of O. Both of those teams have green and gold as their color scheme. So the seat is green and gold, and the truck will be green and gold when it's done. And I'm going to lift it a little bit because back in my day, that's what we did. We lifted them. Now, I've seen them lowered, and I'll say they look good lowered, but my kind of traditional look is to lift it. So I'm going to lift it a little bit. And not stupid high, just a little, you know, just a little lift. It'll be good. Anyway, those are the two. So that was the really amazing news of the week, is that this fender is actually coming my way. And now I got to get that little area down there in the implement building kind of set up. I got to put a shop light down there because, you know, this time of year, the sun is crossing the sky so fast. Holy cow. You know, you have just a little bit of daylight. Of course, the days are getting longer now, which that's cool. By the way, I got to tell you guys, I know a lot of the country has been like getting hammered with snow and freezing rain and freezing sub-zero temperatures. And we have had the most incredible week, it seems like. I'd say roughly about a week. It has been mostly sunny during the day, maybe a little bit of fog, you know, to screw up the morning a bit. But some blue skies during the day and a little bit of sunshine. And at night, the skies have been so flipping clear. You know, we sit in the tub after dark, the hot tub out back. And, man, if the moon wasn't so dang bright, we'd have seen a lot of freaking stars and satellites and who knows what else. But it's been an incredible week. Oh, by the way, mentioned this in passing. If you guys in the chat room, I don't know if you saw the link I put in earlier this week of a rig, utility, what does UTV stand for? Terrain vehicle, ultimate terrain vehicle, something like that. Anyway, it's called a Tuatara, Tuatara, Tuatara. And that's actually a lizard from Australia or New Zealand. And, but the rig, man, solid steel construction. Anyway, we bought one. So, if you didn't see that, I'll also put a link to that in the show notes and check that out. My wife was crazy about it because it has a dump bed on it. It's a four-cylinder engine. It'll do 70 miles an hour, solid steel construction, has a little bit of that Humvee vibe to it, and it has a lot of kind of tie-down areas. You can put a bunch of stuff on it, and pretty amazing rig. And I'm actually also going to become a distributor for them. They're looking for people, and I thought, you know, that wouldn't be a bad gig right there. You know, you probably won't sell a million of them, but probably could sell some, especially in this area, man, up here in Oregon. The area I'm living in apparently is kind of like perfect climate and dirt for grapes, wine grapes. So these vineyards have sprung up in the last 20 years. And I guess one cool thing about that is, well, vineyards are awesome, number one. Number two, it's just driving property values up so high. This little place we have is skyrocketed in property value. And we actually have thought a few times about putting grapes in here, but I don't know why we haven't yet. I think we tried a couple vines and we weren't successful, and I don't know. I don't think either one of us is just crazy about growing wine grapes and doing that whole thing. But maybe, who knows, maybe one of these days we will, or one of those vineyards will buy up or lease our property and grow grapes. Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, that thing was about 26 grand. It was expensive. But you won't find other rigs like it. Matter of fact, my wife priced out a Polaris a year ago that had like snow plow attachment. It had different attachments on it, and it was about 30 something thousand. So she said no on that deal. But I think when she saw this one and saw that it was all steel construction, she had to have it. It was just one of those things, like, yeah, we're getting one of those, so we got one. And yeah, it's fun. It is fun, and just a freaking solid workhorse. We've just had it today. We went yesterday and picked it up. So, and we got back, I don't know, late yesterday afternoon, and then wanted to eat and relax, and we took it out for a night drive because it's got a 50 light LED on the top rack, and we wanted to test it out. Holy crap, is that thing bright. Anyway, so that's other kind of big news on the homestead. This week, the kids are moving in, which, you know, that's kind of crazy, but things happen. They were living in a church, an old church. Actually, it was an old school. It was part of the school district here in Sheridan, and they sold it off years ago, and a church bought it, and then the kids were going to that church, and they needed somebody to live there, and the kids lived there. It was big enough for four kids and two parents. And then the church decided they were going to sell it because property values are high, and who knows why. But anyway, so the kids, you know, they're going to be looking for a place. And while they're looking, we have plenty of room here. You know, they're up here every day anyway. So they're moving in this week. That's kind of crazy. As a matter of fact, today is the day they start sleeping here. So that is kind of big news too. But you know what's kind of fun about that? I mean, the grandkids are like 3, 6, 8 and 11 years old, and so we get a lot of help doing stuff around here, because there's always chores to be done, you know, and they're all pretty good kids about getting stuff done and helping Ma out, because you know, she needs help. Hey, that's the other thing I was gonna, you know, without giving up too much, my wife had that procedure this week, she didn't have any cancer, she had some polyps, so they took care of those, and we're hoping that things are going to change for her, and she's going to be healthier, or feel better. She usually feels pretty good, and God, my wife, I'm not kidding, she has the greatest attitude. As a matter of fact, when we were coming back from getting to this, rig yesterday, I mean, well, number one, she was just like squealing with excitement at times because she couldn't believe that we just went and picked this rig up. And the other thing is, we were just talking about like having fun. Like, you know, you got to be having fun. No matter what is going on around you. I mean, everybody has times when you get sucked in for a minute, you know, because of some disaster, some horrible thing that has happened in your life. And, you know, okay, so you do that and you deal with it. And then, you know, you got to be having fun, man. Life is short. I'm telling you, I don't know how many of you are older than me or whatever, but I'm just telling you from my perspective, like I'm 64 now, and I'm like, holy hell, man. Time went by fast. It's like, how did I end up being 64 already? I don't really feel like it so much. I mean, sometimes, you know, like every single day when you wake up and you're like, why does that hurt today? It's like, I didn't do anything to hurt that thing, you know, whatever it is. And and anyway, you just wake up with a new pain that you have no idea how you got it or whatever. But it happens, man. It goes by fast. I had a couple of people this week. They were young patients. They came in and they have a new daughter. She's a year and a half old. It's her first daughter. And I was telling them about this speaker that was at one dental convention I went to about 5 years ago. And the guy didn't talk about dentistry much at all. What he talked about, he had this talk that he called 16 years. And he said, 16 years is the time you have with your kids. And it kind of made sense the way he talked about it, you know, because yeah, you just think, okay, if you start with year one, when they're babies and they need your full attention and they can't do anything, they wouldn't live without you doing everything for them. Till the time they're about 16, when they don't give a rat's ass about you, that's not always true. But you know what I mean. They go on, man. They got their stuff going on. They either have activities, schooling, they're thinking about college or not, or they're thinking about doing something with their lives, or they're just out dating or screwing around or drinking and doing drugs and having parties and, you know, spending time at the lake or in the woods or wherever. But yeah, they're pretty much gone by the time they're 16. And he said, so man, you know, especially as dentists, you know, you guys, he was like, you guys take a breath, man, and go spend some time with your kids. You know, that office will be there when they're gone. And that is the truth, man. You got to make sure, take some time out and enjoy those moments, whatever they're doing, and enjoy some time with them. So, yeah, it was pretty cool to talk to these two young people with their year and a half old daughter and kind of relay that story to them, you know, like, you know, you don't have much time. I think I mentioned Wednesday night, those two podcasters I listened to on Morbid, a true crime podcast. They're great, kind of good young women. I say that because they have some real progressive ideas sometimes that, you know, turn me off and I think, oh, you're so naive. But mostly they do a great job on their podcast, and one of them have kids that just started school, kindergarten, twins, and she was saying, man, she wished just as soon as they were off to school, she was thinking, oh my God, I should have spent more time with them. I should have played more games with them. I wish, I just want to do something with them, you know, right now. And you know, well, that cow's left a barn, you know. I mean, not really. You still have evenings and weekends and time with your kids. But, yeah, it goes fast. It goes fast. And you got to be having fun. And, you know, I was just thinking today about like, working the earth. Like, so we're kind of already starting to plan next year's garden. It's going to be a little bit bigger. We're taking it a little more seriously. You know, last year we really kind of tightened up the perimeters to make sure that, you know, critters couldn't come in and, you know, have a smorgasbord on their own. And, I was thinking how sometimes when you're just caught up in something like making food, growing food, or working the earth, that your mind, man, it just like takes a little vacation. It just like, I don't know, it takes you away for however long you're doing it. And it's not always like that. I mean, sometimes you're just pissed because you have to, you know, go take the weeds out, or you got to till in between the rows, or, oh, I got to get the, well, I never complain about getting the tractor out. But there's just some kind of zen to working the earth sometimes. You know, not all the time, guaranteed, but sometimes, man, just getting out there, growing some food, doing something to, you know, kind of extend your budget a little bit, or just provide healthy food. Man, we had, so last, one of my favorite meals is, one of my favorite meals is pork shoulder blade steaks and acorn squash. It's, I don't know why that combination right there I love so much, but I just love those two flavors together. And we made some pork shoulder blade steaks and acorn that we grew in our own garden. And we just, I mean, that was just like, we still have plenty of acorn squash. And acorn squash lasts a long time in the wintertime when you put it in storage. So it's not like it gets rotten or whatever. I mean, you can eat them pretty much throughout the winter. And that's one of the things that we kind of plan on when we make our garden, is having some food that's going to winter over. So if there are really hard times, or like last year when we were frozen in for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 days, we couldn't even move because we had 4 inches of ice on everything. And I mean ice, not snow. Well, we had plenty of food, you know, that we weren't going to starve to death. So that was a good thing. Anyway, something just, I don't know, feels really good about, you know, having some food around for whatever reason, just because you like to do it or whatever. And, you know, some of those things are really easy. Go dig a hole and put a little fruit tree in there, and then 4 years, hopefully the thing starts producing fruit. Sometimes 2 years if you're lucky, but that's an easy way to do it. Anyway, I was just really thinking about that today here in the middle of winter. Not even the middle, really. We're only, what? We're not even a month into winter, actually. But it's that time, you know, where we're thinking and planning, so it's kind of fun times. And, you know, luckily we have earth that isn't frozen solid or buried under feet of snow, so we can kind of do our prep all year long, basically. You know, and getting plants or seeds ready to go in the greenhouse to start some plants that we'll put out eventually. It's about that time, you know, and looking forward to it. All right, so anyway, that's the fun stuff for today. Oh, and I was going to mention, so beside me here, what do I have, about a minute? Yeah, we're going to have a minute and then we'll have a little break. So beside me here, my drinks for the day. I have now added this delicious tonic water with grapefruit in it. I drink like one of these a day because of the benefits, you know. And then I have my medicine ball, and then I have, today, I have iced coffee sitting there that I'll eventually get to. But this tonic water thing, man, I'm hooked on it now. Delicious. Anyway. Okay. Man, we got some stuff to talk about now. I'm trying to get away from so much COVID stuff, man. I think we're all pretty damn tired of COVID stuff. I'm still going to cover some stuff because, but we're just going to keep it kind of shorter than it has been in the past. We're not going to spend an entire show talking about how Fauci has lied about everything, which he has.
Turn the quiet.
What is the name that they use for those kind of people? Narcissist. He's a narcissist for
just
sure.
Spin around.
That guy, and then, you know, and I heard him complaining that Rand Paul is the reason why all these... Oh. Well, sure enough, it is. All right, we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Thanks, you guys. All right, good. Maybe that broke my train of thought on Fauci. Like, who? I mean, honestly, I bet... Does anybody really give a crap if he feels like his life is threatened? I sure don't. I don't feel sorry for him one bit. As a matter of fact, I was kind of thinking of him as one of these internet bullies, you know, who gets on the internet and, you know, like, I know you've experienced before, they'll come into some chat room and they'll act big and tough and, you know, they'll talk about kicking your ass or whatever. And then you know, if you're lucky enough ever to meet one in person, yeah, they're not so tough. But that's what Fauci reminds me of, is, you know, he's done all this stuff in the dark. He's done all this stuff without the spotlight on him. And now it's all coming to light. And, Yeah, people are pissed. Yeah, people are pissed. It's not Rand Paul's fault. You know, it's his fault, Fauci's fault. But anyway, so yeah, nothing's really changed there. Hey, but while I was listening to the music, I was thinking of this other thing I didn't actually make show notes to because I saw it literally right before I was coming on the air. I get news feeds from everybody to kind of figure out what I'm going to talk about for the week or show. And so I get something from Haystack News, which mostly compiles stories from your local area and feeds them, you know, into your news feed. But one thing I just saw that I thought was really interesting was it was a story on how to avoid scams from QR codes. You guys know what QR codes are, that little kind of square code. It's all digital, black and white boxes kind of. And apparently when you scan those, you know, it can take you to, if you scan them with your phone, it'll take you to their website or whatever. And what I thought was interesting about that is because Corbett was talking about a guy a few weeks ago, and as a matter of fact, it's kind of a thing now that people are making these kind of hybrid newspapers where you actually make the newspaper in print. In other words, there's text in there, a story, whatever thing you want to put in there. And then you put a QR code in that article so people can scan the QR code and go look at the information themselves. And it's really kind of taken off in some areas as an alternative to mainstream media and controlled press versus free press. And so I thought it was kind of interesting now that there's, of course, people going to figure out how to scam others, you know. But also I was thinking, you know, well, that's kind of interesting. I'm sure mainstream media is putting out this whole thing on how to avoid scams using QR codes to, of course, prevent people from accessing this new hybrid newspaper method because it's becoming really popular. And, of course, the last thing that the government wants is for the people to have free speech and to be able to go around all these censorships that have been placed on all the social medias that you can participate in. I mean, the newer ones, you know, who are actually built on freedom of speech, but they're not the most popular ones yet. So I think people are just trying to get the word out, you know, however they can. And this was James Corbett's idea. I don't know if it was his idea or if he just kind of got on the bandwagon because this other guy in Arizona was one of the first ones who created the paper. Anyway, I thought I talked about that a few shows ago, and now I've kind of forgotten the details or the facts, so we'll eventually get them straight. But the interesting thing is, you know, that there's this big push not to get scammed by QR codes, and of course this other thing where these people have been extremely successful printing and handing out newspapers that have, you know, the printed word in it and then QR codes for people to go and check things out themselves, which I think is awesome because, you know, you have a lot of people who get all their information on this digital device that they carry around with them. And, you know, you could provide a little bit of both, you know, printed and digital version, which I think is awesome. And I mean, if you look into this at all, you'll see like the people who have had great success with it are literally handing out tens of thousands of newspapers in the bigger cities. Oh, by the way, the rig I told you about earlier. Okay. So the company who makes those actually has like these really great engineers that, you know, kind of electrify everything. And you guys know how I feel about electric vehicles, but I was thinking, you know, these big cities like Portland, they're, you know, run by complete morons, but you could sell a ton of these electric vehicles to them. Now, my vehicle is gas powered, of course, because I'm not going to buy an electric vehicle. Hell, the battery for the damn thing is $5,000, so no, I'm not going to have an electric whatever this is. And The gas-powered version is much stronger. Stronger towing, stronger winching, stronger pulling, stronger plowing, stronger everything. And 13 gallons of gas, it'll go forever. So I was talking to the guy who's the current distributor in the Northwest. He covers about five states, and he's the one we met to buy this rig from, and he was the one who was telling me they were looking for more distributors, and I said, well, sign me up, you know. And then I was telling him, well, why haven't you sold these to Portland? And then he was telling me how he's already got to the point where he's going to be, oh, great. China building long-range cruise missile launch from ship container. That's fantastic. That's in the chat room. See, that's why I say, if you're listening to me, join us live here on Real Liberty Media Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern time, and you can catch up to the minute live information like that. Fantastic. Anyway, yeah, so a lot of these cities, I think, could use these rigs. I mean, look at the rig. It's made for working. I mean, it is made to be a working vehicle and to last a long time. So, anyway, just a side note, I guess. So that covers Fauci. Let's see. Oh, I know one thing I wanted to cover today was somebody called all these mandates on kids and all the restrictions, child abuse. I thought that was awesome, because it is. And you know what? Eventually, here's the deal. Like, I know a lot of people, and of course, like the current administration, which is no different than the past administration. Don't ever get me, you know, wrong about this. They all ultimately want ultimate power. They all want to be the ones who run the country, period. I mean, that's their purpose in life, is to continue to make more and more restrictions on freedom. That's what they do. You can't make an argument that by passing a new rule, law, or regulation that you've somehow increased somebody's freedom. It makes zero sense whatsoever. But the current administration, of course, was trying to, you know, get this voting rights thing passed, which basically means they want to take over voting because they don't want to ever be out of office. And you could sure understand why. Because just like the topic I just mentioned about all of the restrictions and mandates placed on children being called child abuse, all of these people have been identified. I mean, they're out there in public. You know, they're not hidden anymore. They've done these things to people and children. They're going to have to answer for them at some point. They're going to have to answer for their actions. So if they don't stay in power, you can imagine the next bunch of people who come into power, if they are from the other team, they're going to start laying down some investigations. If they have the majority, they're going to start, things are going to get ugly. So you understand why it's extremely important at this time that the current administration, that the current political party never give up power. Because just like the administration before them, they have basically stepped over the bounds of humane treatment of the population of the United States. And the same can be said with every other country in the world. Now, these people are outed. Their names and faces, we've seen them every single day. Kate Brown here in Oregon for months was on TV every single day at 11 a.m., making her daily announcement of new tyrannical restrictions. They're going to have to pay. They will have to answer for what they've done. And I mean, this is throughout the world, but especially here in the United States where I'm concerned, and especially in Oregon, I can't believe they haven't hung this governor already. And I don't know how she's going to, escape some kind of retribution one way or another. She's lucky she lives in a state that's extremely liberal and extremely progressive, where the sheep just get in line and, you know, take whatever branding or whatever, you know, physical mutilation she's handing out, because, you know, she wouldn't stand a chance in a lot of other states. I mean, hell, look at Oregon. Oregon has like this gigantic number of counties that have already voted to join Idaho, which basically leaves the smallest swath of land, like probably Portland, Salem, and Eugene. It's a little area that will be left of Oregon if all these counties secede from Oregon and join Idaho. Because, you know, most of us, which is not true, most of us don't live in the city. I mean, there's a huge concentration of population in Portland, Salem, and Eugene. Maybe Medford, too, I don't know. But, you know, most of us live out here in the country. Most of us live outside of those areas. And I hate saying most of us. Most of us sane people live out in the country. We're not in those cities. All those crazy, you know, progressive, liberal, environmentalists live in those cities. And sometimes, you know, I look at these people who have these beautiful businesses in Portland that have been just time after time destroyed over the last 2 years. And the year before that, actually. And I think, you know what? But you decided to put your business in a city that was stupid. Like, you should have known. And especially when this Mayor Wheeler, oh my God, that guy. So think about this. Let's say you have we'll keep it simple, $1 million business in Portland, Oregon, on a city street there, in a city block or whatever. And the mayor says, the mayor, who is paid by all of those taxes and fees and business license monies that you put in so you could have your nice little business in pretty little Portland, Oregon, which is not pretty anymore. You pay all of those fees, and this hose bag tells you straight up, oh, we're not going to prosecute the people who break your windows and burn your buildings and steal your stuff. Because what, he's afraid of them? I don't even know what his justification is for not prosecuting people who are destroying commercial properties. And like, it's so strange to me that a guy who got elected for an office to be the mayor of a big city doesn't understand that it's businesses that pay his salary. You know, and it's weird because those people who get into those positions of power forget who they actually answer to. Because they don't end up answering to anybody like this moron. I mean, thank God I don't have a business in Portland for sure. I mean, thank God I don't have a business right now of any kind. But I just can't imagine that guy standing up in front of all of these people who pay tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees to operate in his city And, you know, all of the homeless people that he's put up there and tries to make their lives better and give them a place to stay and give them, you know, every kind of social advantage that he can dole out. And he doesn't want them moved off the streets, you know, and you got to make room for them, you know. And they're just, the whole system is just destroying these businesses that are in Portland. But for some reason, a lot of those businesses choose to stay, man. And that's, you know, that's on them. Time to move on, man. Let Portland collapse on its own. It will implode. It will crush itself eventually. Yeah, and I guess I heard that the governor's position is up for election this year. Be interesting to see if anything different happens. But like I was saying, you know, these people have been outed. All of these people will answer for what they've been doing for the past year or two. And I'm not saying that, you know, elections are going to solve a damn thing, because they're not really. My point is that I think people will be held accountable eventually. And I think the more and more that's coming out about Fauci, a lot of these other countries who may actually remember that they have their own experts that are actually not tied to the Wuhan lab and who are not doling out billions of dollars to other countries in the world, but their own experts may start providing them information that is actually worthwhile, that will actually kind of spell out how this whole pandemic was mishandled, how so many people have been damaged by what has been done in the past 2 years. It's incredible to me. Every week, a new study comes out. And I said this like 2 years ago. Well, no, because I wasn't on the radio 2 years ago on a podcast. But I've been saying, we won't know what all the damage that has been done until this thing is years behind us. But the nice thing is that some of those people, some of those institutions who I've always said, what happened to you? Where did you go in all of this that all of a sudden you just started taking this guy's word for it? And then, of course, we had the censorship. So whenever somebody did come out with something that was controversial, or should I say contrary to what Fauci was spewing, they got censored. They got shut up. But when we see the long-term damage that has been done by, you know, withholding treatments that would have had people recover sooner, would have made the whole process of whatever this illness is, it would have made it easier on them, and yet the government actually physically got involved in distribution of some of the things that could have helped, like monoclonal antibodies. So how does the government all of a sudden just step in and decide to be the ones who take control of distribution of humanitarian drugs? And then the government decides who's going to get those, instead of the doctors who are treating the patients, instead of the people who are working in the hospitals treating the patients, you know, and not being able to get their hands on these medications because the federal government has decided that they're going to take over the supply chain, you know, to make it smoother. You want to hear something that's so stupid? Not that you guys haven't heard enough. So the federal government has decided they're going to make these tests available to everybody. You know, the crappy test that probably doesn't tell you a damn thing. So listen to how stupid this is. So let's say you think you've got symptoms of COVID. You can write the federal government, you can order up that test right away. and they will get to your response, and they'll send you an email back that says, we've accepted your order. We're going to ship it out to you in 5 to 7 days. Do you understand the like irony, the hypocrisy, the insanity of saying you'll get the test out to somebody in 5 to 7 days after they already think they have symptoms? And then they probably, you know, you're not gonna call and order a test because you sniffled today. You know, tomorrow you feel a little feverish, your eyes are warm, and you sniffle some more, and you're like, oh, yeah, maybe I have symptoms of COVID. I better call the federal government and get my test. And the federal government's gonna send it to you in 5 to 7 days. When they already are saying that in 5 days, you know, after you have symptoms, in 5 days, go back to work, go do whatever. It's just been the most amazing freaking clown show. Kind of the Keystone Cops, always. I mean, the federal government has always been the Keystone Cops of the world. Just the most ridiculous, inability to actually accomplish a damn thing. Which, as you know, I've said before, that's kind of always my goal when it is voting season, is that I always hope we get just enough people on both sides that they don't ever get a damn thing done, which, of course, is why, you know, now the Democrats are saying they want to eliminate this filibuster rule. Well, screw you. A filibuster rule is the only thing keeping you idiots from just going completely crazy, not that you're not already. But anyway, so guess what? We got like 2 minutes left. Do you think I got to one single thing in my notes? Maybe. I think I got the one or two things in my notes, but I think it was, that's okay. It was kind of fun. Let's see what else we got. Nope. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Let me see what is... Hey, have you guys heard this... Roy Epps. You guys who know who Roy Epps is, it Roy or Ray? Ray Epps. Do you guys know who Ray Epps is? Yeah, I didn't either. So, you know, you've heard that like they arrested everybody who attacked the federal government. Yeah, FBI plant. Yeah. I mean, like, I looked at some of the questioning that Cruz and somebody else did on the FBI person. They were asking him like, yeah, so what's the story with this guy that, you know, was at the insurrection and he hasn't been arrested or anything? Like, do you know who that is? Nope, we don't know who that is. Is he an FBI agent? We questioned him and he said he has nothing to do with law enforcement. I think that's pretty much all you need to know, right? Is that if the investigator actually went and talked to the guy and said, hey, are you a member of the FBI or any other law enforcement? And the guy says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not. Oh, okay. Thanks. See you later. That's all we needed to know. Yeah, I think pretty much that's all you need to know is, yeah, this guy was an FBI plant, and he was one of many who are encouraging people to break into the White House and destroy property and stuff like that. But apparently never charged. You know, I thought they arrested everybody. Every little buddy who was even nearby got arrested, but not Ray Epps. Anyway, thanks, you guys. I had a really fun time. That was kind of a lot of impromptu stuff, but guess what?